Okay, we're going to get started. Hi, my name is Barbara, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome.
Okay, and this is a two-part workshop on how to do four-step inventory. I'm not even going to tell you my story. All of you know I came in June 10th, 2000, 10 years of back-to-back abstinence since that first day. This program has changed my life, and the way it changed was by doing the steps. So even though we're basically going to go through all the different inventories, so what's going to happen is we're just going to run through all of the steps, and we'll do as many as we can now. And then after the break, we'll finish up, and then at the very end, if there's time for questions, you can just ask any questions then, okay? I get feelings. My book calls it Restless Irritable Discontent. It's also feelings of shame, guilt, and remorse. And what happens is the minute I feel any of those, I get a memory, a false memory that tells me if I eat, I'm going to feel better. And the second I do that, I start obsessing. I have to eat it. I have to eat it. I have to eat it. And then what happens is eventually I give in and I take that first bite. Usually it's some food that I have an allergic reaction to that causes me to crave. So I take that first bite and it starts the physical craving. As soon as I'm with the cravings, I can't stop. I start binging. I eventually stop because there's none left or something happens to make me stop. And then I make resolutions. I'm never going to do this again. And I keep that promise until I get these feelings again. So when you come into OA and you learn the tools, what happens is it'll stop you from taking that first bite. You make a telephone call, you go to a meeting, you call your sponsor, you do any of the eight things, and it stops you from taking that first bite. But am I recovered by not taking the first bite? And for me, the answer is no, because my problem is not the food. If I don't put the substances in my body, I don't have a problem. My problem is that I believe the lie that food's going to make me feel better or that I really, really need it. So what happens is I do the steps. And what happens is the minute I have any of these feelings, instead of running to the food, I go and run to my higher power by doing a 10-step inventory, which we'll get to after. But how do I get to the 10-step and how do I connect to my higher power? And the way that I do that is by doing the steps. So just a quick thing, even though I know this is small. To get physical recovery, I work the tools, which are the food plan, sponsorship, meetings, telephone calls, anonymity, service literature, and writing. And then, as a result of that, I'll take the first compulsive bite. And as a result of that, I'm able to be clear enough and honest enough to take the steps. In order to get emotional recovery, I do the steps as outlined in the big book and continue to live in steps 10, 11, and 12 every day. As a result of doing that, my reasons for running to the food for comfort are taken away, and I get rid of the things that block me off from my higher power, and then I'm able to connect to my higher power. In order to get spiritual recovery, I have a spiritual awakening. As a result of doing the first 11 steps, I stay connected to my higher power, I carry them out, and I teach the steps to others. And as a result of that, I stay stopped, I feel useful, and I have a great life. And then I no longer fight the food, and I'm recovered on a daily basis. So how do I get there? I do the steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Let me just do a little caveat here. Whatever I'm going to say here is my opinion. Some stuff may be out of the big book, but it's just my opinion, what worked for me. There's different ways that people do the steps. This is the way that I did it. This is the way I teach it. So if you know a different way, this is not the way that you have to do it. It's just the way that I find works for me. So step one, I'm powerless because I can't stop. If I do stop, I can't stay stopped. At certain times, I can't control the amount I eat, and I've broken every promise I've ever made to myself where food is concerned. My life is unmanageable because I try to run my own life on my own power, thoughts, and emotions, which are all based on character defects. Step two, come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Sanity means being whole. My mind is not sane when it comes to food. I believe the lie that food will make me feel better. My problem is lack of power. My solution is finding power. Do I believe there is something out there greater than me that can help me? Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. This is only a decision. I have the power to do this yet. Step seven is where I say, okay, God, take all of me and make me what you want. Step 11 is where I actually turn myself completely over to Him, saying, tell me what you want me to do and give you the power to carry that out. Soon as I'm done with step three, because it's the only timeline in the whole big book, I launch into step four, which is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. There's four inventories. And this is where you'll get some of the discrepancies. How many inventories, how many columns? But for me, there's four inventories. One for resentments, one for fears, one for harms to others, and one for harms to others using sex. I believe that the purpose of the inventories is to find the things that no longer work for us and get in the way of us connecting to our higher power and being useful. To me, the only reason that you ever do a step four is to find those character defects that are causing all the problems. So now that we're up to here, we'll begin the class on how to do this. Everybody should have a sheet of paper that says resentments on top, that have a column one, a resentful ad, column two, because, column three, what it affected. So all that we're going to do is we're just going to move on to how I teach people to do the inventories. I'm going to ask for people to be volunteers to help me with this. Okay, so the main thing about the inventories is you only do one column at a time. You do not go across. You're going to do one column at a time. So, and everybody's going to get to write this on their paper also. Do not make this your biggest, strongest, most hateful resentment that you can hang around since you're 2 years old. For learning purposes, just do something that, you know, somebody said something to you, something small that's not earth-shattering to you yet. Okay? So all that you're going to do is in column one is write down who you're mad at. Okay, now, I'm going to ask for some volunteers. Who's brave enough to tell me who they're mad at? Anne?
Okay, I'm mad at my sister.
Anyone else?
Well, office manager.
Office manager? Give me, this goes on the web. Never mind. Okay, someone else shout out.
Lorraine.
Okay,
Scott.
So one more person. I'm sorry, who?
Scott.
Okay. And everybody else, just write down in your first column who you're mad at.
Just one or multiple?
Just one, okay, for learning purposes. Now, when you do this in real life, I had 37 pages of names, okay? And each page had like nine sections on it. So, and I'm not a people pleaser, I'm mean-spirited, so my harms to others was much bigger than that, but I didn't realize how angry I was till I started writing stuff down. And what you'll do is like, you write your mom on one page, you write your dad on another, siblings, anybody who was like core in your family, because there's something everybody did to us. And you'll know from writing the name down how you feel, how much space you should give people. You could always add more space. Okay, when you're completely done with column one, and it's not just people, it could be institutions, it could be the police, it could be like anything that you're mad at, the church, you know, a rule at work, anything that you're upset with can go on here. Then
can you use a principle, for example?
Yes.
Would you do that for us today?
Okay. Oh gosh, I can't write. I'm sorry, I haven't slept a week. I'm sorry. Give me an example of a principle.
I don't want to be too controversial, so I'm trying to think of, you know.
Okay, you and I will talk about that after, okay, because there's a list that also I have that has a list of principles also, okay? Even it could be love, okay? So we'll try that, but that's like more like an advancement for like teaching, but we'll try that anyway. Okay, why am I mad at my mom and I? Well, actually, you're going to know this story because, and here's the cool part. Doing the steps is not a psychiatry session. No one, including your step sponsor, has to know the story behind it. Okay, this is the cool part about it. This is a fact-finding thing. And the truth of the matter is the first three columns don't even matter. And I'll show you as we're going, but I'm mad at my mom for returning the brownie outfit. Okay?
All right.
Why are you mad at your sister?
Because she competes with me for parents' attention.
Is that only you have to know what exactly they did. It's as short and concise as can be, okay? Office manager, why are you mad at her?
Called me into her office to reprimand me.
Oh. Wait, no judgments here.
Oh, no, no. Oh.
Did not make me her best friend. Why are you mad at Scott?
Keeps delaying the transaction.
The close of the transaction.
And just for learning purposes, why am I mad at love? Because no one ever loves me enough.
Aww.
No, I'm actually fine. This is just for learning. And this could be like, depending upon what your inventory is, like you can't find somebody to love, no one, you know, your parents didn't love you, whatever it is, but there's principles that are just why you're mad at it, because it makes me do things I don't want to do or be with someone I don't want to do, whatever it is. What happens then, now you're going to go to column 3. The reason we get mad is that there's 6 parts of self, maybe a 7th, pride, but I'm on it, I'll put that there, because that's pretty much self-esteem to me. One is self-esteem is how I feel about myself, and pride is what other people make me feel about myself. But you can do add that if you want. Okay, so what happens is, you're going to now look at these. Now, it's just a gut instinct, yes or no. You don't have to ever give a reason why you feel it. I will only give you online the reasons just so you see why I was mad. Okay, so the first one here is self-esteem. That's how I feel about myself. Did her returning the brownie outfit affect my self-esteem? And for me, it's yes, because without the brownie outfit, all the kids made fun of me, and the brownie leader every week pointed me out about when are you going to get your outfit. So it made me feel less than. Okay, your sister competing for your parents' attention, does that affect your self-esteem?
Yes.
Office manager reprimanding you?
Yes.
Lorraine not making you her best friend?
Yes.
Scott delaying the close of no. Okay. Actually, we're not going to do the love one because for...
Doesn't that become part of us,
though? We're not there yet. We're not there. You're doing one column at a time.
Oh, I see.
So now we go to the next one, pocketbook, which is your money. Returning the brownie outfit didn't affect my money. Your sister competing with you?
Because, yes.
Only if the money. The will.
That's
her not making your best friend didn't affect your pocketbook. And Scott delaying the close of transaction. Yes. Next one, emotional security. How safe do you feel in this world? Her returning the brownie outfit? Yes. I knew I was going to be made fun of, and I was so terrified walking into that room each week. Why did I just not go? But, you know, 7 years old. Okay. Competing for your parents' attention affects your emotional security? Office manager reprimanding you? Not being your best friend?
Yes.
And the transaction?
Yeah.
Okay. Ambitions. My plans for the future. Her returning the brownie outfit affected my ambitions because no break ever failed. And I did not have a sash to put all the badges on, so why bother? Okay. Competing for your parents' attention?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just a gut answer. There's no right or wrong answers here.
Yes.
Okay. Best friend is yes. And Scott?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Personal relationships, how I relate to other people. You bet. This was the thing that made me never feel a part of anything and never wanting to hang around anybody ever again until I came to OA.
Yes.
Competing for your... Okay, reprimanding
I'm
you.
I'm a little shady on that.
But here's the thing, because the first 3 columns, believe it or not, don't matter. So it's just either gut instinct or not. Did that
so
affect
I'll say
you?
No.
Okay.
Would you repeat your definition of personal relations?
How I relate to other people.
Okay.
You know, how comfortable I am with
that. I changed my mind, yes.
Okay. Okay, her not making your best friend? Delaying the close of the transaction. Okay. And then the last one is sex relationships. Did this affect my sex relationships? No, too young. Your sister?
No.
Office manager?
No.
See, now here would be the difference. Here's where we're effective. Like, this got you so upset you went home and your husband wants to fool around and you're so upset you can't. Then it affected your sex relationship. So that's how it affects that.
No.
Best friend. And Scott?
Affecting it in the positive. You know, I feel bad about myself, so I need to come and fool around.
Well, that comes into your harms to others using sex. This is only who you're mad at.
Okay.
But see, you wouldn't be mad at somebody if they did something, you went home and had great sex, correct?
Okay.
You'd actually be thanking them. This is only
this is
only
gratitude.
You're mad at.
Somebody else, so then she uses sex to comfort herself.
It'll get covered. So somewhere in inventory, but yes, if for any reason it affected it positive or negative, but what happens is if it affects it positively, you probably won't be mad at this person again, or they'll do something else that'll get you mad. But see, again, the only purpose of these three things is to get to the all according to column five, what's my character defect.
Okay.
So what happens here, if everybody can also, in column two, because I'm sorry, I forgot you that, just write down very, very briefly, if you haven't done it yet, why you're mad at the person that you put their name down in column one. And as very succinct as possible, because nobody else is ever going to see these inventories. So if you want to write it in shorthand, in another language, because no one should ever see these inventories. Your step sponsor may see some of it to help you do it correctly, but they're not going to go through every single one of these, because the truth of the matter is, no one really cares who you're mad at. And you know who you're mad at, because every time you get together with people, you talk about how unfair these people treated you, and it could be 20, 30 years ago, the people are dead and you're still mad at them. Bunch of wasted energy. Okay, also, now just go through and check off any of the things in column three that were affected by what you were mad at. Okay, now, this is my favorite part. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you one thing. The reason we're mad is because one or up to six parts have been affected. You can tell how mad you are by how many things were checked off. It's really cool that how that works, because while Jack is upset at Scott, he's not furious. Perpetrone? It's more annoying than furious. You're not losing sleep. You're not going to bed saying that. So is it, I mean, you maybe do it to a certain... Oh, did? Okay, well then maybe more of these stuff are being affected than you think. But it really doesn't matter, because as I said, the first three columns really don't matter. It gets to column four. This whole world is cause and effect. Every single thing that somebody has done to you, you did something that precipitated it. You got the ball rolling. And this is the amazing thing about the program. This is the first time that people are ever going to look at what was my part. And this is why you need a step sponsor, because if I did not do this correctly, and if I were doing this on my own, a man of my mom for returning the brownie off, if these things got affected, my part was, I have a mean mother. It's not the truth, and my step sponsor would point that out. The fourth column is only about me. So when I really look at this, yes, Laura.
But what about, like, I put my last employer and I got laid off. Mm-hmm. And I got laid off because of the economy. I mean, it wasn't me.
Well, we'll get there in a second, because okay. When you see some samples, it may happen. But, yeah, there was something that you did that made you be laid off instead of somebody else. Okay? Maybe they were a better, you were a less of a good worker than the other person. Maybe you were the last one hired. But, I mean, there could be some reasons, but... If there are some stuff where you don't have a part, such as you were raped, your parents were alcoholics or drug addicts, somebody killed one of your children, I mean, you had no part in that, okay? But you do have a part later on that will go through also on that, but you, 99% of the stuff, you have a part in it. And this is the thing that's really hard, especially at the beginning, to find out what your part is, because as I said, nobody ever looked at it. So what was my part in this? I didn't set the table. Okay, my mom said set the table for dinner while she went shopping for it, and instead I went out and played with my friends. And so when she came back, she returned the outfit and the hat and the sash and the shoes and the socks and all the other stuff that goes with it. Okay, what do you do that causes your sister to compete?
Care that which child my parent picks, my sister or me.
Okay, but that's your parents' part. What's your
okay.
part?
That I also compete.
Okay.
But she mentioned something too, though, is that she cares so much. She puts
okay.
so much weight on
okay. care what others think.
Yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. what you'll find is when you get to the character defects, the things that caused me to do this have affect everyone. You competing with people is probably just not your sister. It's probably a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you also probably care too much what others think. Not just your sister
right.
or your parents.
Yeah. This is past, though.
Okay. Office manager, what did you do?
Simply, I was supposed to, we had lunch 1 to 2 o'clock. If we changed our lunch, we were supposed to let the office manager know. My boss asked me to stay. I didn't. I didn't let the office manager.
Okay, so that was your
work. So I came back from lunch at 2:30, and she thought I had taken an hour and a half.
but the thing is, as simple as concise, the rule
right,
of
no, I was irresponsible.
Right, so that's the character defect.
I should have called.
Your part was, I didn't let the office manager know.
Right.
Okay, about lunch. Mm-hmm. Okay, what did you do that, that she's not your best friend?
I expected too much from her.
Okay, and what's your part with Scott?
I have no idea.
Okay, he's selling a business, the guy who wants to buy it keeps procrastinating and changing all the terms. What's his part of it?
Boundaries.
Boundaries.
Yeah,
deadline.
Not
there,
setting expectations.
Move on.
Move on, get another buyer.
You have a lawyer?
Exactly. Okay, see how easy it is to find other people's...
It sounds like a control
wanting
to control
yeah,
others.
Those are the character defects.
Right.
Now, one of the things, is, once we get to the character defects here, column five, I'll show you if you have trouble here, how you can reverse it from column five, how you can do that. But not setting boundaries, not setting a deadline that you're willing to stick to. So like if you had said to him, if we're not close by May 15th, the deal's done.
We did.
Okay, but you still are having to deal with them anyway. You didn't stick to your boundaries. So that's really your part. Is that true? Does that ring true for you? Because it's your inventory, not mine. I can suggest things,
yeah.
But you're... Okay, so didn't stick to the boundaries, you said.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Not so setting penalties.
Not yet? Okay. Okay. So everybody, if you can... And it doesn't matter, you know, what you put down for now, because I'll show you how you'll find out if it's true or not. Yes.
You can put this one.
Yeah.
So I'm resentful of my husband because he won't stop compulsively eating. So I'm... What's
your problem? Okay.
What
anybody want to help? Or what's her part?
I'm trying to control.
Right. Well, that's the character defect. She's trying to... She's controlling. That's the character defect. But how are you being controlling? Are you...
Taking his inventory.
Okay.
Well, I'm
not just holding steps. Expecting him to behave.
Expectations.
Expecting him to do what you think he should do, but this is about you, not him. Expecting others to do what I want.
Well, I'm looking at how it's affecting me all the other way, you know, in all the ways of my life.
But only because you have character defects that are allowing you to feel that way. The truth of the matter is you're not his higher power.
Right.
He has his own, and when he decides to leave
himself to death,
then you become a widow and you have insurance.
Yes.
Right.
Insurance. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said
to myself,
ever be able to change anybody else. You can only change your reaction to it. And you're being upset by seeing it based on character defects that thinks you have the right to control and tell the truth, even if your motives are good.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this isn't psychiatry session. This
right.
is just fact.
So what's my part in it that I'm allowing it to...
Well, to
others to give you peace of mind or to make you feel
As a matter of fact, you're giving away your power because what he's doing is determining how you
feel.
Uh-huh. You're also thinking you're his higher power. You're thinking you have the right to tell him what to do. There's a couple of things there that you can put down. It could always be more than one thing.
Right.
But you know, try and find the concise, exact thing. Alice, you had your hand up.
I was just going to say, setting an expectation. My part in this, I think, is that I'm suffering over it.
You're giving out power.
I'm giving my power away. So I don't try to tell him how to eat or what to do.
Isn't that letting people, places, and things tell me how I'm going to be?
That could be, but see, and you're the only one who can determine that. Your inventory. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
But it actually preceded. She's talking about the reacting. What is the preceding?
Yeah, because it's cause and effect.
Right.
Because
something, when you say something happened, like with the brownies, it was like 7 years old, so was there something, there was some decision that I made that I would allow this to affect me. so.
Right, so it's like you think you're, to me would be that I think I'm his higher power and I have the right to tell others what to do. The truth is I can't tell anybody what to do. But that's not resonating with you, so that's not your truth.
What happened is I got fearful and then I got concerned about the character.
Okay, so this may be more under a fear inventory than a resentment one. Are you really mad at him or are you more scared that he's going to die and leave you alone?
Both. I'm resentful at him for.
Okay. And this may be a biggie one, and you know how I said don't pick the biggest one. This may be something really big, which once you learn how to do this and you get to that point, you'll be able to do it like this. You'll find yourself. Mary?
I'm thinking maybe in that case, pinning my own security on his
letting other people place his things determine my
control.
Well, that's the character defect. Yeah. Right. I can see all the character defects really clearly.
Is that what I just said? Is that a character defect or is that my...
That's my part.
My part is determining my own well-being, determining my security based on his well-being.
Right.
Okay. How dare you do that when I'm working...
No, but that's what she's mad about. This is only about her. If you can't figure out what it is, when we get to here, there's five big character defects. Selfish, which is wanting to keep what I have, my husband. Dishonest, lying, cheating, stealing. Self-seeking, wanting more than I have. I want him for more time than I have. Frightened, which you are. And inconsiderate. And what you can do is if you can figure out a column four, you can go to those five biggies and say, am I selfish in this? And if so, how? And that's your column four.
I can see my character defects in all of those.
And then for column four, just write how you're selfish, how you're dishonest if you are, how you're self-seeking, how you're frightened, and how you're inconsiderate. And that'll give you your column four if you can't get it this way. Okay. Does that help?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Now we move on to what the whole purpose of these inventories are about. Column five. What character defects allowed me to do what I did in column four? What happens is columns one, two, and three, they're forgotten. Doesn't matter who did what. Okay? That's for a psychiatrist to deal with, and this is not psychiatry. This is just fact-finding to get rid of the stuff that's blocking you off from your higher power and making you have a miserable life. Okay, so for me... And again, it's one column at a time. So selfish is wanting to keep what I have, okay? So was I selfish in not setting the table?
Yes.
Yep, I want to have fun with my friends. Are you selfish in caring too much or competing? And it's just a gut instinct, yes.
No.
Okay. Not letting the office manager know? No. Expecting too much?
Yes.
Okay, not sending penalties for yourself. Okay. Next one is dishonest. That's lying, cheating, stealing, not disclosing. Okay. Was I dishonest and not setting the table? No. Competing? No. Caring too much? Oh, wait, that's the same one. Not letting the office manager know.
What did you say?
Dishonest. Lying, cheating, or not fully disclosing.
Not fully disclosing.
And with Scott, were you dishonest? Okay. Self-seeking, wanting more than I have. Okay. Was I self-seeking and not setting the table? No. In competing with your sister, are you self-seeking? Yes. The office manager not letting her know?
No.
Yes.
Not setting penalty? I'm sorry. Not setting penalties for you, self-seeking is, okay, the difference is selfish is I want to keep what I have, and self-seeking is I want more. I want to get more. Okay, so were you self-seeking in not setting penalties? Okay. Frightened, we all know what that means. Okay. Was I frightened and didn't set the table because I was frightened? No. Competing and caring too much? Frightened. Not letting the office manager know, expecting too much, not setting penalties, okay, and inconsiderate. We all know what inconsiderate is because everybody does it to us. Were they inconsiderate? Possible. Competing too much or caring too much, are you inconsiderate? Not letting the office manager know. That gets a big check.
Yes.
Expecting too much. Not setting penalties for you consider. No. Okay, then what happens is you have a list of other character defects that all fall under these. But sometimes when you're doing it first, it's better to like get like right down to, like for me being inconsiderate, the real thing is that I was lazy. And I was also disobedient. Okay, and what will happen is then if there's, and you're not going to write like 80 for each, you just pick one or two if you need more, if you feel you need more. So for example, I mad at my mom because she returned the brownie outfit. It affected these things. My part was I didn't set the table. The reason I didn't set the table was because I was selfish, lazy, and disobedient. Rings true to me. Okay, so what I want everybody to do is check off either, it could be more than one, selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, or inconsiderate, and then look at that list if you need to, or just anything that pops into your mind, and write down your character defects for your column four.
And you're obviously managing, you're responsible.
Okay, and we're gonna, as soon as everybody raises, I'm gonna have you guys do it also. Okay, so I'll give you guys like 30 seconds to do this. And here's what happens, when you actually really do these in real life, you get a lot more time than this.
Thank God.
So when you're saying, when you take somebody's fourth step, you don't have them go through
the fifth step? No, and I'm going to explain that also. No,
okay.
I'm not their psychiatrist. I don't need to know any person they were with because that doesn't have anything to do with their recovery. This is all that has to do with their recovery that's blocking the process.
So what you do is you take their character defects?
Well, we get to step five, but we'll get to that. Yes, definitely. But what happens is they come to my house. And they spend a long time with me. And we go through, like, I do the brownie outfit. And we'll do a couple of others, and they'll give me some of theirs. And they don't leave my house until I see the light bulb going off that they can do column four correctly. Because that's the hardest part. I'm doing all the steps. This is the hardest part. Column four for the first time. Trying to find your reported something that you've been blaming people forever for all your problems instead of looking at what caused the problem based on character defects.
So for something like a job, I mean, the thing that I came up with was that I didn't make myself indispensable, that I didn't create a situation where if they let me go, they would suffer.
And if that's true, it could also be that you didn't have a plan, you didn't do something somewhere along the line that made them think, and that's probably the way to do it, is that we're going to keep Lila, no matter what, we're keeping Lila, and it doesn't matter who else we have to let go. And it may be that you really didn't do anything wrong, but what we'll also do when we're done with this part, I'll also explain what happens if you really can't figure out a part, but there's other stuff that happens. Yeah.
Could it be just that I chose a profession that isn't indispensable to an organization? Just the fact of having...
And this is the cool part, because if that were your inventory, that would be your column for. See how easy it is to do it for somebody else? And you can pretend that somebody came to you and said, hey, look, there's somebody who has to talk to me. And you pretend like you're counseling them as a step sponsor. You'll come up for somebody else. But if I tell you, Ann hates me and doesn't talk to you, what would you tell me what I should do, how I should do prescriptions, what my possible parts could be? And when you're telling me the possible parts, you're actually talking to yourself. Because you're doing your own inventory then, but you're just using a catalyst for it. And that might be the way to do it then. Yeah, because here's something. Is she the only person in your life who doesn't talk to you?
Yeah.
Okay, what you're going to find is whatever character defect allowed her not to talk to you, you're going to find that character defect, because when we get to step five, you'll see the same character defects just keep coming up all over your life. Okay, everybody done with column five? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go through these. For competing too much and caring too much, did you come up with any other character defects?
Competitive and purpose seeking.
Okay,
for not letting your office manager know.
Irresponsible, because I should have called her to let her know I was changing the lunches.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, unreliable.
Okay. Remind me not to give you a job to, like...
special.
Okay. Or would being non-communicative,
that
communicating poorly be a character defect?
Yeah, sure. And the list that you have is not complete. It's just my original 47 character defects were on there. And then as I did steps with nearly 100 people, every time they came up with something else, I added it on. So, you know, as I said, that list is not complete. There's probably billions more, but they all really boil down to just these five eventually. Okay, so what character defects did you come up with? Any others?
Nervous, suspicious, controlling.
Those are not the correct character defects. I'm going to show you now. Here's how you know you did it correctly. Because you reversed. And you know how when you took math and you said 2 plus 2 is 4, and you say 4 minus 2 equals 2, and you know it's correct? You take each of these and you reverse them. And if they ring true and make sense, you know you've done it correctly. Such as, if I wasn't lazy, disobedient, and selfish, I would have set the table, then these things would not have been affected because my mom would not have returned the brownie outfit. Okay? Column 2 and 4 are cause and effect, and they have to make sense, okay? For your sister, if I wasn't competitive, an approval seeker, self-seeking, and frightened, I wouldn't compete, and I wouldn't care how much attention my mother gives me compared to my sister. Then these things wouldn't be affected because I wouldn't compete for my parents' attention with my sister. Does that ring true and make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Are you now not mad at your sister a little bit less?
Because yes, no, I'm not at all.
It's the character defect that causes your sister didn't do a damn thing. Sorry, we're in a church. Your sister didn't do a thing. It's your character defect that allows you to compete with her and think that you're less than because your parents talked to her one day instead of you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
it has nothing
not
to do with her or your parents. It's your reaction. Okay, if I wasn't irresponsible, unreliable, inconsiderate, and dishonest, I would have let the office manager know that I was going to be taking a later lunch, then these things would not have been affected because my office manager would never have reprimanded me.
Absolutely.
Still mad at your office manager? Well, not as much.
Yeah.
You know, and what happens is if you can see that, the brush holder is also like one of the parts that can fit in here also. But did you see it was a character defect?
Yeah,
because all you had to do was call, and she would never have called you
there.
If I wasn't needy and wanting to feel special, inconsiderate, frightened, self-seeking, and selfish, I wouldn't expect too much from people, and these things wouldn't be affected because it wouldn't matter whether I'm her best friend or not. Okay. If I wasn't, now this is, and if you did not do it correctly, sorry, Jack.
That's okay.
If I wasn't nervous, suspicious, and controlling, I would set penalties. Does that make sense?
Controlling, no. Nervous and suspicious.
Okay. If I wasn't nervous, suspicious,
frightened.
Okay. Yeah. If I wasn't nervous, suspicious, frightened, dishonest, and selfish, I would set penalties. Does that still ring true to you?
Wouldn't it also be if I wasn't a people pleaser, I wouldn't set the boundaries?
Well, only if it's his inventory. For you, that may be. Mm-hmm. Jack, be a people pleaser? Where if I put down my part was that I am a mean mother, the character defect associated with that would be that I'm unlucky.
Yeah.
If I wasn't unlucky, I would have a nice mother and then she might have returned the credit. But that doesn't ring true at all. The truth is my mom's really nice. And I'm not unlucky because unlucky is something that I would never ask God to remove. Oh, please God, let me win the lottery because I'm not supposed to do that. But it makes more sense that I have things that allow me not to set the table rather than I just have a mean mother. So see how that works. And that's why a step sponsor is really important because they'll guide you through. Let me try this again because for some reason this doesn't sound true to me, but it's only up to you.
Okay.
If I wasn't selfish, dishonest, frightened, nervous, and suspicious, I would have set penalties.
I don't think my partner was correct up there. that's what I think.
Okay, that's okay. So what happens is, if it doesn't ring true and you're trying to like fix the character defects and it's not working out, either what you're mad about isn't what the real thing is you're mad about, or your column for your part isn't correct. And then you just manipulate it until it does.
Do you ever, like, if you're really stuck in terms of what your part is, do you ever go and talk to the person and say, why did you do that?
No.
Okay.
Step 8 is when you go and you talk to the person, but it's never to confront them. It's to clean your side of the street, and we'll get to that after.
So what if you really can't see your part in it?
If you can't see your part in it, then you ask yourself, and here's how we'll figure out your problem. Because you were nervous, what did you do that caused him to delay the transaction?
I didn't do anything.
Okay. Lack of action.
Lack of what?
Of action.
On my part?
It's not about him, it's about you. What? You're using nervous as a character defect. Because you were nervous, what did you do that made him delay the closing?
Nothing.
So nervous
is not it.
Okay, it's not the character defect that allowed you to do it. Also being suspicious. Those are after the fact. Once he started doing the stuff, then you became nervous, you became suspicious. And this is cause and effect. It's not what happened afterward. Somebody yelled at me and now, feel a certain way. That's after the fact. This is before the fact, what got the ball rolling. So more is like being frightened.
Insecure.
What did that do?
Insecure that it'll fall through.
Yeah, that's my part of it, but that didn't cause him to do what he's doing.
How about, let's try it this way, just putting all your eggs in one basket, that you really, being so dependent on this going through, that this is the one buyer, this is what has, that basing so much, because it's not that you caused him to delay the close of the transaction, you're mad at him for doing that. And if it wasn't that, and this is just a suggestion, that you didn't put all your eggs in one basket, that this is your only buyer, that you were desperate, that this is the person who's buying it, then it wouldn't matter if he didn't close the transaction, because then you'll just go get another buyer.
Right.
Okay, so is that more what's going on here?
Yeah.
Because if he didn't care so much, and put so much depending upon him closing the transaction by a certain date, you wouldn't care if he did it or not.
So you didn't have too much power.
True.
You are dependent on others. And isn't that what Jack did? He depended on this one guy for this, instead of going to find other people. He held that up.
Taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And basically, it's really frightening, because the real truth here, according to me, if it were my inventory, is that if I wasn't frightened, I would set penalties.
Right.
And then he wouldn't miss the deadline, because if I wasn't frightened,
yeah.
I would set penalties. And then it wouldn't matter if he delays the close of action, because it's over with anyway. I don't care.
I wasn't so stupid, I would have said penalties.
Nothing in these are ever designed to make you feel bad.
And trusting.
Okay?
Trusting would be more like
your higher
power. But trusting isn't really a bad thing.
But
okay.
Well, it's fear, yeah.
Because it's quiet. These other parts of the name.
Right, but see, it may also be reliance on money, caring about money coming in. I mean, it could be like, if I wasn't selfish, I wouldn't care that I have money by a certain point, that it wouldn't matter if he delays the transaction. But again, and we'll only spend another minute on this also, okay? But again, what you can do is go through, where have I been selfish in this? And try and come up with something that, if you were selfish, self-seeking, I want the money. Okay, if I wasn't self-seeking, I wouldn't care so much about getting the money, and then it wouldn't matter if the transaction gets delayed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if it rings true, but again, it's your inventory. So if you get stuck, you can always just ask yourself where you've been any of these 5 things: selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, or inconsiderate. Now, if it also turns out that you have something where you really say, I don't have a part in it, economy sucks, and I got laid off. Or a man and my dad because he never told me he loved me. Okay? As a kid, as an employer, as an employee in a bad economy, you really may not have that great thing. What you'll do on your next job, looking at it because you came up, make yourself indispensable. The next job you have, you will make sure, without being mean to other people, or, you know, whatever it is that will make you make other people look bad, but you will make sure that you do such a good job that they notice you, that they will never lay you off again. Okay? It's just based on character defects that kept you from doing it.
You take responsibility.
And that's what it is, and that was the next thing I was going to talk about. But what happens here is, like on the example with my dad, at 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, what part do I have in it that my dad never hugged me or told me he loved me or anything like that? I had nothing. But as an adult, once I turned 18, or even like something that happens now, what am I using it for? Why am I still carrying it? And that becomes my part. Treating guys badly is how was my part. It's using the way my dad treated me as an excuse for my bad behavior. That was my part in it. After the, and I know it sounds like kind of a little bit weird, but if you can come up with something here, figure out, like, this happened when I was 7 years old. I was carrying this around for 40 years before I got rid of this. There's certain things that may have happened to you as a kid. Father being bipolar and saying stuff, not that my dad's bipolar, it's just me. And such as if your parents were drug addicts, if you were raped, somebody killed your kid, which is a horrible, horrible thing. But what happens is, your part can be, what did I do with it? Okay?
With any of it.
Right, because if you really, when you write these inventories and you look at them, you're going to find there's stuff on there that has been there forever. And you have been carrying on a resentment is that it goes from Centauri to replay or refeel. Or to feel and could read it. So every time you think of the thing you're mad about, it becomes bigger. When reality, all she did was return the brownie off, and it was my reaction stuff that made that destroy my whole world. And that all happened based on character defects, not because of her. The stuff with my dad is that I carried around, I used it as an excuse for my poor behavior, thinking I was entitled now because of the stuff that happened to me.
And just something like that that happens, people who don't want to admit that they had any part of it are doing harm to themselves, because the truth is, you don't want to carry this stuff. The whole idea is to get rid of it.
So, and that's exactly what it is. To be not to face and cope with, right. But to be rid of the stuff that's blocking you off from your higher power, keeping you from having a great life. Just to finish up on this, what happens is, and then we'll move on to the fear inventory, which is always so much fun, is that the first 3 columns are real easy, because we always know who we're mad at, because we're always willing to blame somebody else for everything that's happened in our life. So the first 2 columns are, go ahead, blame all you want. The so-and-so did this to me, and it made me feel bad, okay? Once you get to column 4, forget this. None of this matters, because if anybody, my grandmother had bought me a brownie off and then returned it, my grandfather, if I said, if anybody had ever given me something and taken it back, I would have still had these problems. Okay? So it really doesn't matter who's in the first. And no matter who you're with, if you compete with them, you're still going to be unhappy. If you feel that everybody should be your best friend, and they're not, you're still, so it really doesn't matter who the person is. It could be any buyer that's holding up a transaction for you, and you'll still be just as mad. The first 2 columns don't even matter. It's just to get to the rest. When you look at columns 4 and 5, never designed to make you feel bad. Nothing in this. The only thing is that when you start doing these inventories, you better finish and you better go all the way to 12, because you're going to look at everything that ever made you run to food, and every step brings you to the next one that you're compelled to do it. You want to give an example, you finish your step 4, you have to do a step 5 because you're carrying this crap around and your head is like going so crazy because you have now put on paper and are looking at everything in your life. This is you in your disease, okay? This is no longer going to be you once you get to step 10. So what happens is the first 2 columns are go ahead and blame everybody, columns 4 or 5 is you're going to finally start taking responsibility for your life, because the truth of the matter is, nobody's responsible for you. You determine how you feel. You determine what you think. You determine everything in your life. Your food that goes in your mouth, the people in your life, who you want to hang out with, how you want people to treat you, because your character defects are keeping you from setting boundaries and letting people who are bad for you stay in your life. Alice?
Yeah. Well, just a quick question for you. Did you
reversing the resentments, you have to finish the resentments inventory, you have to finish the wound inventory?
Well, what happens, no, well, what happens is, as you're doing it, when somebody's at my house, we reverse them just so they can see that they made two. What happens is, when they're done with all the inventories, I have them sit at home, like the book says, you sit for half an hour, take down the book, ask God, have you really, you know, completed everything honestly? And then I have them reverse the stuff then.
Okay.
I never hear this stuff. The only way I hear it is if somebody has a question, I say, well, I can't come up to my fourth. And then you can't figure out the fourth column, can you help me? And the only ones I hear that is because any that, like this happened, I stopped being mad at my mom. You still mad at your sister? Still mad at the office manager? You said kind of, even a little bit.
Well, I mean, you know.
Okay, it's a little bit. So what you do is you put a check next to it. You still mad at Lorraine? Still mad at Scott? Okay. So what happens, most of these will be gone once you realize it's character defects. These aren't bad people, they have their own inventories and their own character defects. Everything that I did is based on a character defect that caused me problems. Once I realize that, I can stop being mad at the people. But if you can't be mad at them, you put a check mark, and when we get together for the fifth step, we go over the ones that are checked. And what happens is the book has a resentment prayer. Mm-hmm. Any person that you're still resenting after you've reversed it, and saw your own part in it, and you still mad, please God, let them find it. Everything you would want for yourself, and I'm not there, I won't give you my list. It's not like you group the 10 people together and say, oh, I wish I could have everything. Just say, each person gets done individually, you list everything for them. The thing is that God's going to make it so uncomfortable for you that you're going to eventually start changing. And that's the whole thing, that why these steps work. You can't do step 4 until you realize you have a problem, that you need God to help you solve it, and you're ready to give God a try. It doesn't even mean that you have to come up with your full concept or that you say, okay, God, you were my whole life. You're incapable of doing that at step 3. You don't even know how to. There's so many character defects blocking, you don't even know how to connect to them, other than through religion where someone, and this is not against religion, so please don't take that. When you go to whatever religion you are, they have certain traditions and things, and they're telling you how to connect to your God. This has nothing to do with religion. This is all spirituality. You're going to block all the crap that's blocking you from your higher power. So it doesn't matter if you're sitting on the toilet or praying. You know he's still going to hear you. There's nothing that you have to do in order to connect with him. He's always there. So what happens is you'll go through all this stuff. You'll do the inventories. The fourth step is the first thing you do in order to finish that, God, I offer myself to thee. The way I'm going to offer myself to thee is I'm going to do the work that you're going to tell me to do, and the first thing is I'm going to unblock myself. Anybody have any questions on this before we move on? Yes?
I know you want to move on, but I'm really struggling with something. My sister played what I thought was a cruel joke on me, and I can't find my partner other than I let myself be vulnerable. And how I'm dealing with it now, I can see character defects, but I'm not finding a column.
And again, then if it's something that happened when you were little, because
no, it just happened.
It just happened. Okay. Well, there's character defects. And the thing is that there's something in you that allows you to let her get under your skin.
Right. So I'm trying to see how I can find that to kind of reverse.
Okay. So in this, are you a people pleaser? Are you an approval seeker? Like if you can't figure it out, come up with what you think character
defects. I can find the approval. Like, I was mortified in the situation because I was embarrassed and other people were there and blah, blah, blah. And I'm making more of it in my head now than it really was.
Well, how about I'm mad at my sister for embarrassing me? If you can't find your part, it may be that you're not really mad at her for the cruel joke. You're mad at her because she embarrassed you.
Okay, and I wrote that down.
If she did the joke, and there was nobody around, you may not have reacted as
right. It was the humiliation. Yes.
So that's right. I'm mad at my sister because she humiliated me.
Okay.
What was affected pretty much everything.
Right, I got that.
For
yeah.
Sex, okay. What was your part in it?
I just feel like I allow her to do that to me.
Okay, and what character defect allows you? What makes her think that she can do this? You set up something either when you were little or your whole life together that makes her think she has the permission to do this to you. And so you didn't set boundaries, you let her get away with the ones. And it's like anything. You're married and your husband hits you once, and you don't do anything, you've given him permission to hit you forever. Somebody treats you badly and you still talk to them or hang out with them or still invite them out, you give them permission to do it. You go, somebody calls you up and says, let's go out, and that day they cancel, and then the next time they do it again and again and again.
Right,
you're giving them permission to do it.
This is like the first time, though, that she's done something like this. So I think she really thought it was funny.
Did she jealous of you?
But see, that's her habit, that's her sister's inventory, and the column four is only about you. So if you can figure out what lets you be so embarrassed, because that's your part, because the truth of the matter is, I've been with people where they just lifted up their shirts and they're not even embarrassed. I think it's funny, other people are mortified, right? It doesn't matter. And it's not on like one of those videos, And it's a matter of what's in me that allows me to get embarrassed.
So embarrassed. And
right.
So, yeah.
Okay, and that's all that you just figure out, because it's just a character defect, because what happens is if you're self-confident enough, if you're comfortable in your skin and in this world, and you have a higher power of protection, somebody can come right up to your face and say something really horrible, even accusing you of something, and it'll just roll off your shoulders, because it doesn't matter what anybody else does or thinks.
I'm seeing a defect, so it's okay if I can't find a column four, if I'm seeing defects and how I'm dealing with it.
If you can find a defect, ask yourself how what you did as a result of that defect. Okay. And you'll come up with your fourth column back.
Okay.
Anybody else have questions? Doris?
Trying to scan this up. What if I've done everything that says up there, and I go over it, and I still, nothing's changed. I have a hard time.
Two things. One is either that your column two or four is wrong. You know, like when you reversed it, if it really made sense and made true for you, and it still didn't do it, then every morning in the prayers, please God, give whoever it is a dog that'll live forever, a husband that is just so wonderful, tons of money, a big house, kids that love me, vacations, wonderful friends, like anything that you would want for yourself, you're going to wish for that.
So anything positive.
Always give it all. No new wreckage. Whether the person knows you're doing it or not, no new wreckage. Okay. And here's the thing. This is also like a little bit important, like how your brain works. It's incapable for your brain to hold a bad thought and a good thought at the same time. So every time you get mad at something, you know, the same person that you keep thinking of the same thing from years and years, you're going to do it every morning. Do it as often as you have to. Eventually, you're going to get tired of saying it. And the first few times you're going to do it, you're going to do it through gritted teeth. I wish everything good for him. You're not going to have a good tone of voice in your head or out loud. You know, but he'll eventually take it away. Okay? Because if it doesn't leave, what happens is the character defects that are doing it will keep playing out in your life. If you don't get rid of them through step 7, they're going to play out forever, so that at step 10, you're going to do it for 3 months, every single day, 30 times. It's going to be put right in your face until you learn the lesson.
And is there another way, just not give that person all that power?
Well, that's the character defect. You're giving your power away based on either approval seeker because here's something, remember, this is just to find the character defects. The rest of the steps are how to get rid of them and how to correct all the problems that they cause. This is just an inventory. Macy's has clothes so they can see what jeans or shoes are in selling and which ones are. And then they open the next day, and everything that hasn't sold for 6 months, they put out there really cheap so they can get rid of it. And they bring in all the new stuff. The greatest analogy I've ever had on how to do these is you're 7 years old and your mother says to you, go downstairs and clean your room. And you go down and you do it grudgingly. But what if your mother said to you, I want you to go down in your room, and I want you to get all the toys and clothes that you don't like anymore and put them on the bed. And then we're going to get rid of them, and I'm going to take you to the store. We're going to buy all new stuff. What's the difference between going down and cleaning your room and now knowing you're going to get all new, shiny, great stuff that you like? You'll do it. That's the way to look at this. You're just going through your closets to see what clothes and toys you don't like anymore. This step is you're going to show your mother the clothes on the bed. She's going to say, okay, we're going to get rid of them. Step 6 is where you get in the car to go to the store to buy the stuff. Step 7 is now you're in the store throwing everything in the car. If you can look at it like that, you know, this makes step 4 someone, this is, everybody's so afraid of doing the step 4. And if you do your step 4 correctly the first time, and it doesn't even have to be that thorough, because anything you miss will come up in step 10, you will never have to do a thorough fourth step again, because you're going to do a fourth step every time you get frightened, annoyed, or harm somebody.
Any other questions on this part? Yes.
How do you deal with the person in your life, like the long-term relationship, like mother-father, where, like, you know, I could write for a month, you know, all those little things, like the brownie outfit. Do you really need to go through all those little incidences?
If they bother you. Yeah, because there's no way you're going to get rid of them until you find it's not your mother and your father or your husband or anybody else who's in your life that's making you miserable. You're making yourself miserable based on character defects. Because if you weren't so whatever your character defect is, you wouldn't be doing something that allows them to do what they're doing to you. Like, and the thing is that once your character defects start being removed, you become a whole different person. You have a script with your parents. You go in, you say something, they say something back. It always leads to like the same kind of relationship. Once the character defects start, so let's say I'm like a liar. And every time I go someplace, all I do is lie. And all of a sudden, I start telling the truth. All the people around me are going to start treating me differently because I'm not telling the lies. They know they're lies, and now they're confronting me. When I'm telling the truth, they have to stop confronting me. So when you stop doing the stuff, you're now going to be different. You've changed the script. They don't know how to react. They start talking to you differently. You start setting boundaries without even setting boundaries. You become a new person. If that makes sense. And it's more like I can tell you all the stuff, and you just have to have faith that this program really works, because it really does. You lose your mind. This is actually what happens. You kill off the old you, and a whole new really good one emerges instead. And what happens is every thought, everything that you do is based on a character defect right now, because that's all everybody in this world is run on. Mm-hmm. When you get rid of the character defects, you lose the driving force that forces you to do things. So whatever you're doing right now, including maybe not setting boundaries or standing there while they're treating you badly, somebody calls you up and screams, you stay on the phone instead of just saying, I have to go and hang up. You're going to start doing things differently. They have no choice if they want to stay in your life but to start treating you differently, because you will no longer allow people to treat you badly. It's so objectionable to you once you hook up with your higher power. You won't let anybody do anything bad to you. Even little bad. Even a joke bad. Okay, any other questions on this? Okay. Do you want to take a small break before we move on to the fear one?